Hello and welcome to everyone listening to the Written in Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring black girls who aren't all that nice and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. Welcome to a bonus episode of the Written in Melanin podcast, you guys. Today, I am here with Sheldon Theragood, the author of Whatever It Takes, Walking Through God's Purpose. And after realizing that playing basketball on the collegiate and professional levels was not in God's plan for him, he went on to become a police officer, a youth mentor, and an advocate. He encourages young people to set goals in their lives, have a plan, and to diligently seek what it is that God has planned for them. His nonprofit organization, Theragood Deeds, provides mentoring, counseling, and outreach opportunities focused on making a positive impact in the lives of youths. And today, you guys, he is joining me on the podcast to discuss the importance of finding your purpose and seeing it through. Welcome to the podcast, Sheldon.
Thank you. I love that introduction. That was awesome.
I'm glad you approve.
yeah, that was cool.
So, since this is your first time on the podcast and also our first time actually getting a chance to talk, let's go ahead and open up this podcast by introducing you to our listeners. And let's just start at the very beginning because you got a list of credentials. So let's start with your book. Tell us a little bit about Whatever It Takes, Walking Through God's Purpose, because I feel like a lot of this stems from that.
Yeah. So thank you for having me first and foremost on your show, on your podcast. My book was something that I was walking through in life. It had a lot to do with me playing basketball first and foremost. That was what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to the NBA. I wanted to buy my mama that big house. This was already planned as a kid. And playing ball so long, sports, my dad had me in all different types of sports, but basketball just kind of took over. Playing with the big boys, playing with my brother. He was my role model in growing up. And just trying to make it and be better than him because he was just so great. And I was like, man, and those guys would never pick me because I was just so small. But, you know, God just worked with me, practicing, going home and always, you know, crying. But I'm just steady working hard, practicing. And eventually I got better. Or on those guys' level to where they did start picking me. I was like the number one pick, or I'll start picking them. So it was cool how that worked out, as, you know, practicing really hard and just staying focused, not giving up, even though things didn't go my way, I should say. So playing basketball, I got great. I had a lot of accolades. Played in high school. I was all state, all American nominee, second district, all Greater Houston. I mean, just played on North and South basketball on TV, in an All Star game. A lot of things were just happening to me. I was on quite a few news clippings. They did stories about me. So at this time, in my mind, I'm like, man, I'm in. I'm going to make it. Here we go, you know, because things were just great. And so fast forward, I didn't make the score that I needed to go to those Division I schools, like an Oregon where I wanted to go and play ball, or like an SMU or schools like that, or even like a North Carolina or Texas. I didn't make the SAT scores. I didn't make the ACT scores. So what happened was I had to go to a junior college, right? So it pushed me back. And I tell kids all the time, I'm like, practice, always study, always be prepared. Because tell you the truth, I wasn't prepared for those tests at all. And it showed. And so I went to junior college, played there for a year, ended up transferring to Texas Southern University, walked on. But I had this injury that came about unexpected. I'm like, where did this come from? And that injury was called arthritis.
Oh.
I called it, hey, it hurt. So at 21 years old, I had osteoarthritis in both of my hips. So it really affected my play as I walked on at Texas Southern University. I couldn't play like I used to. Mm-hmm. So they went, I did very, very good, but I couldn't last too long because my legs were just in pain all the time. So it was time to make the list, to make the team. And, you know, the coach had put the list up there to see who all made the cut, the final cut, and I didn't make it. So at the end of that, that's when life started for me, because I didn't have no clue that it was gonna come down to this. I thought I was just gonna go through college. I had that attitude that I was just gonna make it all the way. And so that's when life flashed in front of me and it hit me to where I needed to figure out something else to do.
I'm really glad that you are sharing this story, because one of the things that I have had the privilege, I guess, of experiencing and talking to other people with is it basically exactly what you're saying is how, you know, especially when we are young, we have this idea of what our life is going to be like, what we're going to be doing, how it's going to play out. Like I can't speak for anybody else. Let me not generalize, right? But I know for myself, I was very much fortunate to have adults in my life, really my parents, who were very instrumental in pushing me to have an idea, to have a plan, to be like very conscientious. Is that how you say the word? Conscientious? Very aware of what I was doing and to like be making progress toward that. And it's one of those things where it's just like when you're a kid, and I say child and kid, like 16, because after a certain point, you realize that when you're 16, bro, you don't know nothing. Pipe down. You're not even close to being an adult yet. But I digress. Right. You know, when you're 16 and you see adults who are not, I'll say, living up to their potential, you can get adults who are in your ear like, hey, make sure you're doing this. Hey, make sure you have a plan. Hey, make sure you're doing that, so that you don't end up like this adult who is not living up to their potential, who is not doing what they're doing, who's not satisfied with their life. And I feel like that can kind of push you to make these plans, and when they fall apart, because 9 times out of 10, when you're making a plan when you're 16, 17, 18, by the time you're 19, 20, 21, those plans start to change. It can kind of feel overwhelming, right? Mm-hmm. So right. I guess my question for you becomes, you know, you had this journey, you had this idea, this plan of what your life was going to be, but you didn't let it you didn't let the end of that be the end of like you and your happiness and what you want to do. You decided to pivot where you could have just like crashed and burned. So like, how did that come about, going from being like, I want to be a star to I'm going to do something completely different?
Well, I knew I still had to graduate. I knew I still had to go through school. I wasn't going to drop out. I mean, I was going through a depression. I really was. You ask questions all the time, like, why me? Why I didn't make it? I didn't came this far. So a lot of that stuff was going on through my mind at the time. But I still had to, you know, make my mom. I could still make my mom proud, even though not in the NBA, but graduate, mm-hmm. right? Graduate from college. And I could still get to that house one day, but just in a different, you know, different atmosphere or whatnot. But I always have faith in that. To this day, I still got you, mama. You know, I still got, so I ain't got to tell about we working on it. So, but so I had to say, Sheldon, you have to come to the conclusion that, hey, it's over. It's done. But you still got to keep pushing. You still got to find something in you that you love to do. So I started doing a lot of mentorships. I was coaching, you know, coaching kids. I was helping some of my friends coach basketball teams. So I was still in the game, but just not playing it. You see what I'm saying? So I still had found fun in doing that. So I knew that, like I said, I just knew that this wasn't, I couldn't make this be the end of the road. And so I knew too that since basketball wasn't there, I had to get what? A job. So now it's reality. Because I'm in my staying with my grandma, so I have to try to, you know, get a job, make some money, and one day get my own, because she's not going to be taking care of me forever. So now I'm trying to work. And mind you, I'm telling you, when I went to college, I just actually majored in something that, you know, that was something that I kind of interested in, but it wasn't nothing that I really wanted to do. I wanted to play ball, but you have to major in something. You had to go to college. What's your major? You got to pick something.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you that I actually just picked the communications, and I wasn't no talker. I'm like, that's the worst probably major to have for me, because I wasn't, that wasn't, my grandma knew somebody in the department, so it kind of geared me in that way. So I was like, all right, my mima knows somebody, you know, it's cool. So I major in telecommunications, and it was a great decision. It was great. It was a great choice. But I couldn't stop there. I had to find a job, and that's what happened. And I can keep going on and on, but this is when it starts, my journey starts happening to when I found that job. And this is when the doors start opening, and then I start figuring out, like, it was just a great feeling. It was a passion, you know, dealing with kids. Because when I found my job, it was in juvenile detention, right? Mind you, I was coaching, I was just around you. So I felt like that was my fun, just to give back and show them and give them the skills, or show them what I have to try to make those guys make it. You know, even though I didn't make it, if one of those guys make it to the NBA, hey, that's good for me. Hey, I'd inspire and help somebody else make it. But on my end, it's like God had, it was feeling different, because I was always going towards kids and youth. That was my happiness. And when I got that first job, I'm gonna skip all the security jobs. I'm gonna get into the meat.
Okay.
I'm gonna get into the meat. So when I got my first job at the Harris County Juvenile Detention Center, that is what impacted my life. And it really got me to where I am today. Mm-hmm. Working at the juvenile facility. And so from that point on, I worked there for 4 years. I learned about the different kids and the different choices and the different their charges and what they was in there for, their environment. I learned about their whole story, because I wanted to figure it out. I was there, basically, when you're a juvenile detention officer, you're there basically, it's like babysitting. You're making sure they okay. Here, you need some old clothes, or if they need some old shoes, or, and you just give it to them, or you just make sure your unit is quiet, at peace. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, that's your day. You can sit back and chill, and just, if they need you, they raise their hand and you go talk to them and just sit there. Mm-hmm. Make sure they don't have no fights. But I wanted something different. I went to started going to every single table and just asking, what are you wanting to do when you get out of here? What is your plans? Mm-hmm. What is your goals? I mean, why are you in here? At least make this time be worth it.
Yeah.
So write down some things. Don't just be in here. Cause those kids, when they're in there, they'll be plotting on different things. Oh man, he looking at me like, you know, what's up? You know, they will start something quick, mm-hmm, in a heartbeat. And so my thing was I was challenging them to know what they want to do. I asked them all the time. Some of them was all-star in football, basketball players. We got them all. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then they'll say, hey, Chief, I want to go back. I want to get back on the team. Well, what is it going to take for you to get back on the team? What are you going to continue to do? Are you going to go back into that environment? What brought you here? What are your changes you're going to make? You're asking all these questions so they can think. And then they can sit there and think about those things. And so I was like a mentor. I was a juvenile detention officer, what they call as a DO. Mm-hmm. But I was like more like a youth mentor. I made it like that. Made my job a little easier just by talking and wanting to figure these things out. So we can kind of stop these kids from coming into the system. And so I wanted to do something bigger to stop that. And that's when I became a police officer. And that's why I'm today. So it's 12 years later.
And it seems like it's worked out for you. And I'm really glad for those kids to have someone like you in their life, because it's like, it's so important that first time that somebody asks you, like, okay, you have this goal, you have this dream, but now, like, what's your plan? Because, like, when you're young, I feel like so much emphasis is put on, what do you want to be? Like, what is your goal? What is your dream? Because it's so far away at that point, you can't really make a concrete plan. And then as you get older, you know, the question starts to morph. And then it's just kind of like this expectation that people just have of you, that you just know how to do this. Like, obviously you recognize that at some point your dream goes from being a dream to being a goal, and to achieve a goal, you have to have a plan, but nobody ever teaches you that. Nobody ever stops that. Like you said, to just ask you, like, okay, you say you want to get back on the team. Okay, but what is that going to look like? What do you have to do? You know, because it's not always as simple as, I'll say, the mainstream plan, especially right. for a lot of people who have deviated from what it is that they wanted to do, what they thought they were going to do, how they thought things were going to work out. Because, like, let's be real, life has a lot of pitfalls and twists and turns and things that we don't necessarily expect to happen. And it's just like being able to sit down and think, like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to achieve that. I feel like that's really important. So, like, I'm really glad that those kids have you and had you to ask those questions, because until somebody asks you for the first time, I feel like it's not something that you really think about, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah. And then it was, I had a kid in there that actually, you will find that one kid that you basically, you're like their father, their brother, that one kid that listens to you. Now, this kid just happened to be the respected kid in the unit. I mean, probably even on every floor. He was on the big floor with all this respect. I mean, he could have been my bodyguard. He's 14 years old. His voice was deeper than mine. And I'm like, yeah, and he was like a little kid in a Hulk looking body, just a man body. I'm like, man, what you on, man? You know, and you on some steroids that early, that young. Nah, but he was just blessed, man, just to be a great size. So getting into him, and he was, I was like his everything. And he was just one of like my son. And he was about to get out of there. He was in the center for a while. He was he's been in there for a minute for his charge. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he was about to get out, and we kind of went over everything. We were so excited. And then when he got out and got released into the world, maybe by a couple of weeks later, he got killed. And so that's part of my book. So, but he was a major twist in that. That's what really, really made me get to where I wanted to focus on kids and do whatever it takes to help. I mean, just be there in their store, be there with them, like get inside to guide them the right way. Mm-hmm. And I'll be trying to figure them out. I know this generation now is tough, but I still try to figure them out mentally to see where their mind is at. And so, and that's what I do now when I talk to kids, when I go out and speak, I just want to see where their mind is at. And because I don't want them to happen to anybody. That really hit me hard when that news came out. I was just like, wow, man, this is, yeah. So
I can't even imagine. I was a teacher for about two years. And so for one, I understand that working with children is truly a calling, because sometimes the most difficult aspect of working with children is not the children themselves, but the adults and the politics surrounding them and the situations that you have to navigate as the adult, especially as the adult being watched by children, if that makes sense. So I have so much respect for you for that. But also, I can't imagine getting the news that one of the students that I had taught and spent time with and was close with, you know, was no longer with us. So I can only imagine what that was like for you. And you mentioned that you put it into your book. So is your book like your journey, or is it like motivational, or?
It's you know, it's an autobiography, but it's my journey. It's you said it, motivational. It will give you that laugh. It will give you that cry. It'll give you that, man, I'm gonna get out my couch and go make something of this, my life. So and this is what I got back from adults. And when you hear that, because you know when you're writing, you want to hear feedback on how that person felt when they read it. And most of the time they would give me that feedback is that, Sheldon, you made me just want to go out. You encouraged me to do more. You encouraged me to to not give up. You encourage me to have plans and make plans and not just focus on one thing. And of course, the kids can relate because they're going through it. I'm talking about the things that they know or they've seen or their friends that went through it. So they're in it. And so it's basically they're reading through my journey. So they can not make those mistakes that I made, because I had some mistakes in that I made in college and stuff like that. It's a lot of that stuff in there. So it's a, man, very great, incredible book, man, that I just amazed myself in putting together. I always tell people we all have stories, and that was one story that I was so excited to get out to help me and my brand to go out and help kids. Now I have something that they can actually see as an African-American author as well, you know, to let them know that they can achieve at anything they want.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where it's just like, it's, I keep saying this, but like, honestly, it's so important, like representation. Obviously this podcast, what I do, for anyone listening, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, what you need to know about me is that I'm very pro-Black. Okay, written in Melanin Library. I'm all about supporting Black people, especially Black people in literature, especially Black people who are writing and creating stories and telling stories, because it is not something that, at least speaking for me and my generation as a late millennial, zennial, as they say, I'm on the cusp of Gen Z and millennial, but it's not something that I really got to see growing up. And it was something that, you know, was very much like, even doing this now, I see a lot of my peers, but in when you're trying to make a plan for yourself, when you're trying to set goals for yourself, especially as a teenager, and you know that, hey, I have this passion for this thing, and this is a thing that I want to do, but you haven't seen it before, it makes it a lot more difficult to pursue, especially because when you're younger, a lot of pursuing what you want to do is convincing the adults in your life that you can do this and it's sustainable and you have a plan. And it's a lot easier. You can point to somebody and be like, look, you know, she did it or he did it, or this has been done before and they look like me. Like, I'm not just making this up in my head. This can be done and it's feasible. So I'm really glad that you have that physical aspect that you can offer to your, not students, but to the youth that you interact with. Mm. Because speaking as someone who wanted to see it, and some of my personal obstacles were that I did not see it. So when I was trying to make a plan and trying to get that familial support behind me, it was one of those things where it's just like, they didn't see it. So they didn't know how I was going to do it, what it was going to look like, or if I was going to be able to take care of myself by pursuing something like that. So even as an adult at my big old age, I'm not going to say it on the podcast, but at my big old age, I still appreciate you for doing stuff like this, you know? But you mentioned, you know, whatever it takes. And that is in your title. That is on your t-shirts. If y'all didn't know, I did some research on him. Y'all can go check out his website. There'll be a link in the show notes. But y'all should for sure check out his nonprofit and what he's doing, because it is really impactful and it's really amazing. But let's talk about whatever it takes, because that's kind of like your brand. So what is the intention behind that?
I used to always, during my nonprofit with my group, I would always mention to them whatever it takes. I had some of them that would get down. We'll work out. I did mentoring through workout. So I had a group of kids, we'll work out and always give them that attitude when some of them just couldn't do so much, or they was giving up, or they was tired, or they just lazy or whatnot, whatever the case could be. I always used to say, man, we're going to do whatever it takes to finish this off, no matter what. We're not, you know, I might not put too much on it, but I'm trying to get them in mentally. I'm trying to see where that, I want their mind to get strong. It's not much so physical, it's where your mind is at. Even though you might can't even, and some of them thought they couldn't lift some weights, but they could. But they was already in the mind of saying, no, I can't do that, Mr. Sheridan. Yes, you just try and see. I'm going to put 300 pounds of that, knowing for sure you're not gonna be able to lift that weight. But just try this and see. All the kids, they did it. Your turn. Let's go. Whatever it takes. Let's go, baby. And he'll lift it. Mm-hmm. And see, I see that's in trying. So it that word has just always been, I've always treated that word as it was just my own. I had to say it. it just came to me as I had to say it, and it got them crunk, whatever it takes. And Mr. Sheldon, all you know, he gonna say whatever it takes. So in their mind, they're gonna try to accomplish whatever's coming their way. They're not gonna give up. It's in their mind to do whatever it takes. So I just start ripping whatever it takes. Let's start making shirts. I say, you gonna see it. You gonna hear it coming out of my mouth. You gonna see it on the shirts. The kids, they got it on their shirts. We is whatever it takes. It don't matter what come our way, what challenges, obstacles, whatever, we gonna get through it. So, and that was just been my attitude, even for me, not even for the kids, even for myself. I have to keep continually telling myself, Sheldon, whatever it takes. When things come my way, I have to challenge myself to tell me whatever it takes. It comes in, and so it helps me out too. And when things, of course, we're human. I'm not perfect. So when things come my way, I have to use that same thing. So it just always help the kids. And it's just fun to just show and say all the time. So now every time after my speakings, if I go to schools, I always say whatever it takes. So everybody crunk, and it's awesome.
I love it. I love it so much. Because like I said, as a teacher, I understand, like, it's those simple things that really get kids motivated. And you'd be like, why are you so hype about this? Like, I'm glad you're hype about this, but why are you so hype about this?
And see, I got just the extra pump just by saying it, because it just gets me in the mood. Like, let's go. Like, it just gets me pumped. So, and even when you look at the title of my book, Whatever It Takes, it just automatically just, you're mentally just prepared, or just trying to be prepared for whatever it's trying to get come your way. You're just ready. Mm-hmm. And how my publisher, they did a great job of putting my picture, and it's like I'm walking through whatever. Mm-hmm. Like anything, I'm ready, going through whatever comes my way. I'm going through whatever it takes. So it was just perfect.
I mean, yeah. It looks really good. I'm not gonna lie. So if you are listening to the podcast, you guys know that there will be links for everything in the show notes. So be sure to check it out. Like we said, the title of the book is called Whatever It Takes, Walking Through God's Purpose. So we talked about the whatever it takes part. Let's talk about walking through God's purpose, because you said at the beginning of this podcast that, you know, God was working on you, and you mentioned in your bio that you recognized that, you know, playing basketball was not in God's plan for you. So one of the things that I kind of wanted to ask you about while I had you on the podcast is just this idea of God having a plan for you and having a purpose, because I know that there are a lot of people who they go through life and they never search out their purpose. They never find that purpose. And that's not to say that they're unsuccessful, but there is a certain, I don't know, there's a certain feeling that comes with knowing that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So when it comes to that, especially when you're talking to, I'll say, either youth, you got me using the word youth, children, kids, youngins, whatever you want to call them, when you're talking to them, but also I would say talking to adults who have not yet defined their purpose and they're looking for it, you know, what would you say to them knowing what you've been through?
For me, I would say walking through God's purpose. I'm going to answer that, because I felt like God, now I always tell people, God see things that we don't see. He already knows where he wants you to be at. We got to figure out where he's wanting us to go, right? We have to figure it out on our own. We don't know. We're unknown, right? I had the talent. I was playing ball, and I wasn't great at first, right? Let me get that out there. I was double dribbling the ball, shooting off the backboard over the goal. So I've been, it's okay, but practice made perfect. And all the times that I played, I got better and I got great. But I was thinking, even though I went and I accomplished so much, now I can see that God was, it's like he was already like creating something for me, like seeing, molding me to, to because you know, if you make it to the NBA, it's I mean, it's great, it's cool, but I felt like he had a greater reward, something that was better than basketball, something that was bigger than basketball, and playing that. And then when I start talking to kids, that's why I'm saying I'm going through it. I'm playing ball, and then into transitioning to, you know, now, you know, talking to kids, and my focus then went towards them, and then just that having that passion. So I would tell people, if it's something that you love, right? Something that you love to do or like, something that you always just, you know, how you can talk to somebody, man, I just love to I don't know, run track or play golf. I don't know, just something you love to do. If you have a passion or something, you can create something out of that love, that passion. And I thought that's what I did. I just created something. I just kind of went on my passion that God put this in my heart to mentor kids. And I didn't even know it until I went through what I went through, and then I was feeling good about what I was doing. So I'm just learning that God has something going on. It's something why I'm loving what I'm doing right now. I just love to be around kids at risk. It could be straight A's. It don't matter. Kids that rude to their OB, disobedient to their parents, all types of kids. I'm loving this. So that's why it's like you have that feeling in something that you might have or enjoy out there. Now, I don't know what everybody's feeling looks like, mm-hmm. right? Now, like he was saying, with plans and goals, I didn't have that. I just wanted to go to the NBA. I didn't have doctors and lawyers on my plan sheet, goal sheet, and wanted to become something amazing where I could make billions or millions of dollars or whatnot. I just wanted to go to the NBA. I didn't have none of that. My plans and stuff didn't start until after the fact, when life came about and I didn't have no basketball, nothing else to do. That's when I had to figure out something. Mm-hmm. So it took me from after my sophomore, with my junior year in college, to figure out now what I'm gonna do in life. I don't know. I didn't have no clue. I wasn't gonna do nothing in communications. Because I just didn't have that. So, but it felt like the coaching, it's like God would just steer me to kids. Like I was just doing stuff that I love to do with kids. And I kept that same energy. And I wanted to keep doing more with kids. So that's how I went into the juvenile. I was coaching juvenile, mentoring, helping other organizations out with stuff. I was loving that. And then that's how I became a cop, because I wanted to do more, be out there with the kids and stop them from becoming into the juvenile center. I love that. My love had me, for you children, the kids had me to join the police department. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be no cop. That wasn't on my plan, my goal list, and that like that. But my passion for the kids led me to become a cop. Mm-hmm. And so I've been a cop for 12 years, and I did exactly what my passion led me to do, with a nonprofit organization for 9 years, going on 10 next year.
Oh,
got 10 number of 10 kids in college, some people working, mentoring. I mean, you name it, I've done it. And so I'm so proud to say, that's why I say walking through God's purpose, because I'm just walking, trying to figure this thing out. And it seemed like God just, He's molding me, and he's pulling me to where he wants me to go. But I have to go through things. I have to go through these challenges to figure out where he wants me to go. And I figured it out. Now, I'm not saying that this is the last stop. Like, okay, cool. Sheldon has found where God needed him to be. No, you can have more than one purpose.
Absolutely.
You can be doing that, and all of a sudden, boom, you might find something else that you might have love and passion, and then go that way and do some stuff over there. So not just focus on one thing. If something else come about, you can go do that too. So.
Oh yeah. And there's so much in that if y'all are listening to this, I hope y'all are hearing this, like I'm hearing it, because it's one of those things where it's just like, I don't know if anybody else has this issue, but like as you live life and you go through it, and you kind of get to a point sometimes where you're like, is it just me? am I the only one experiencing something like this? So it's just like when you said that you were in your junior year of college and you realized that I'm not going to use this degree. Like, that is also a very real feeling. And I feel like that's a whole conversation in and of itself. But, you know, a lot of people, especially I'll say Black people, are pushed to go to college because it's just like that is your ticket to a better life, a stable life, a good life. And it's just like, for sure, it can be. And I'm not knocking the value of college at all whatsoever. But it is also one of those things where I feel like in a lot of ways it's romanticized because it is not necessarily everything that we think is cracked up to be, especially once you're in it. And it is not that golden ticket that's just going to be like, okay, great, you went to college, you got a degree. There's so much that comes after it, and there's so much that has to happen in between. And part of that is, like you said, picking a major. And sometimes you feel like what you want when you go into school, because again, not going to go on a rant because I absolutely could, but it's difficult to go from the first 17 years of your life not being able to make any decisions for yourself, having to raise your hand and ask permission to even go to the bathroom, to suddenly being 18. Now you have to make decisions that are going to affect the rest of your life. What are you going to major in? What are you going to do? What kind of job do you want? Where do you want to live? What kind of person are you going to be when, again, you've never had the freedom to choose for yourself before? But now you're in college and you're making these decisions. It's kind of nice to hear you sharing what you've been through. And it's just kind of like, okay, it's not just me. I'm not the only one who went to college and got a whole degree and ain't using it. Like, that's just, that wasn't in the plan for me. And when you talk about, you know, finding what you're passionate about and following it, it was something else that kind of just struck a chord in me, because it's just like, I love what I do. I love writing. I love podcasting. I love being able to uplift other writers, especially other Black writers, because it is hard. And like I said at the beginning of this, it's not something that you necessarily see other people doing. So being able to find a community and know that it exists was so important to me. But kind of like you said, like, I have goals and plans now that I'm in it. But when I started it, I was like, I don't know. This is something I want to do. Like, I don't know how this is going to come to be. I don't know how I'm going to make it happen. I just know that this is the thing that is like living within me that is stronger than everything else. Because I definitely tried other things that were, I would say, more practical, more realistic for what I wanted to do, for like how I wanted to live, that were definitely going to get my parents off my back and be like, look, see, I'm making money, I'm good, I ain't gonna come home, I'm not gonna ask you to live with you.
Facts.
You know?
Yeah, facts.
But it's also one of those things where I feel like when you have a purpose, because like you said, it feels different for everybody, but when you genuinely have a purpose, it's one of those things where you can't shake it. It's just like, just, and it might be a weird analogy, but if you know, you know. But it's just kind of like being Black. I can't wake up one day and decide I'm not finna be Black no more. It's just not. It's with me. It's who I am. And that feeling that I have, at least, is like that. It's just like, it's not going to go anywhere. And like you said, it might shift, it might pivot, because when I started out, I just wanted to write books because I was like, I want to be that representation of, this is a Black author writing stories and putting it out so that if somebody else wants to do this, they have at least one person that they can point towards who's like, hey, she did it, so I can do it. But then as I started doing that, it was just like, okay, but there, I'm not the only person doing this. And then it morphed into, okay, well, let me create this YouTube channel so I can tell people about these books and we can have conversations about what it means to be a Black author. And let me create this podcast so I can talk about what's going on in my journey and talk to other people who are also going through similar journeys and share their journey, so that anybody who's looking for, you know, support or just this idea that I am not alone, other people are going through the same thing, having to face the same decisions and choices that I'm currently having to face. It's been done and I can do it. You know, that's where it came from. But it's all the same drive, I guess. I went on a rant and a tangent. My bad. It's back to the point.
No, good. I love it. No, I love it. You're right. All that is true. So true.
So it's just, it's one of those things where if you're listening to this podcast or if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, I just want you guys to know that while, of course, Sheldon is directing his energies towards children because that's what he's passionate about, it's still something that anybody can learn from. Everything that he is saying is still I'm one of those people where I believe it's never too late to make a change, and it's never too late to start. So it's fine if you are at a place where it's just like, maybe you are in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s, whatever. But the lessons that you needed to learn at 15, 16, 17, 10, 11, 12, whatever, it doesn't matter if you're learning it right now, as long as you're learning it, you know? And if you hear this and you're like, okay, I know that I have this purpose in me, but I've been pushing it aside to do something practical, or I've been pushing it aside because I don't know what to do with it. I don't have a plan. I don't have a goal. I don't have that mentor in my life who can help me through this. Then hopefully this podcast would be that spark that you need to be like, okay, I'm going to pay attention to this now. I'm going to give this time and energy, and I'm not going to continue ignoring this, because your purpose is important, and everybody has a purpose for a reason. And you ignoring yours is not serving what you think it is. That's my two cents. Spend it how you like.
I love it.
But that being said, we are coming up on about 45 minutes of this podcast episode. Y'all know me, my attention span is short, so we're gonna start wrapping this up. But that being said, Sheldon, I do have one last question for you, and that is for the writers who are listening to this, who are hoping to get some type of inspiration, motivation. You've written a book, you've talked to children, you've set that representation. So do you have any advice for any new authors out there, or aspiring authors who want to start out on their journey?
Yeah, I would say, look, follow your heart, follow your passion. Go at it. I see a lot of people that they would talk about what they want to do. They'll say, man, I want to do that. I just had a friend of mine, Sheldon, what you think about this book? I got a whole story to write. I just want. Go ahead and write it. Just put it on paper. Start doing it. Don't put it off if you got something. That was the thing with me. Every time that I wanted to write, or something came, an idea came, I wrote it down. I kept writing it down, but before you know it, I had a whole book of pages that all I had to do was just put them all together. So my advice is just to do it. Make that book come true. Make that happen for you. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't get distracted. That's one of those words. Distract. Go ahead and do whatever it takes to get that book out there and become one of the greatest authors in the world. And so people can also see your books as well.
I second that. Absolutely. Do it. Don't hesitate. Jump in. So.
Let's do it.
Hey, y'all. If you enjoyed the tips shared in this podcast episode and you're an author looking for some help with your next book, then let me tell you about my coaching services. I offer them through Written and Melanin, a company I created that's all about supporting Black authors. So if you're someone who wants some guidance on your next book, whether it's your first one or your latest one, then I'd recommend checking them out. I offer a free consultation for new clients, so don't be shy about reaching out. I'll walk you through every step of publishing your book, from narrowing down your target audience and figuring out the best way to distribute your book, to how to find a good editor, beta readers, price your book appropriately, and get it in front of readers, and answer any questions about publishing that you may have. The reality is, publishing a book yourself can be overwhelming, no matter how many times you do it. So if you're looking for some guidance and support, head to writtenandmelanin.com to see if I would be a good fit to help. But that being said, you guys, that is it for this episode of the Written and Melanin podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening as Sheldon and I share what we've learned on our journeys as Black and indie authors. If you'd like to support this podcast, then please share it with someone that you think may enjoy it. Join my Patreon at patreon.com/CM Lockhart, or grab a copy of my book, We Are the Origin, from my website, cmlockhart.com. If you'd like to support Sheldon, then please purchase his book, review his book, check out his nonprofit, his website, and follow him on social media. There are links in the show notes for absolutely everything. And thank you guys once again for listening. And until next time, I hope all your books are full of melanin. Bye, you guys.